Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. Most of the commemorations in this second year of the Civil War sesquicentennial revolve around analyzing the military history of the conflict, but Marquette University wanted to mark the anniversary by presenting another angle, the meaning of freedom. Led by the History Department's chair, James Martin, Marquette's Freedom Project is a look at the changing meaning and history of the concept of freedom and emancipation. The project is a year-long collaboration between departments through the university, including its Rainer Memorial Libraries, Theater Department, College of Arts and Sciences, as well as its Office of Diversity and Inclusion. William Wellburn is Marquette's Associate Provost for Diversity and Inclusion, and he joined Martin and Lake Effect Studios to talk about the Freedom Project. Martin tells Lake Effect Stephanie Lecce that its kickoff is timed near the anniversary of the preliminary Emancipation Proclamation.
What's great about being at the university is that in addition to pretty traditional history lectures, we also have art exhibits and theatrical performances and a reading of banned books and many things that explore not just emancipation and freedom in a Civil War context, but just the constructions of freedom really throughout mainly American history. Abraham Lincoln has many quotable quotes in his speeches, but in the Gettysburg Address, he talks about a new birth of freedom. And what's interesting about that is that I'm not sure he was talking about slavery. I think he was talking about other things. But even, again, just to get at the Civil War in particular, slavery had two kinds of freedom. I mean, obviously, if you're against slavery, you're astonished that people can hold someone against their will and deprive them of freedom. If you're a slave owner, you had the freedom to own this property, you know, and what freedom means to them. And so even around an issue that seems to be pretty cut and dried, certainly in modern eyes, is cut and dried, although there's plenty of slavery going on in the world today. And I'm sure the same issues arise when people think about those institutions of slavery in modern global context. But there are lots of kinds of freedom that people disagreed about during the Civil War era.
The expression of freedom is very, very close to so many people and can be expressed through theater and through literature and through art, as well as understanding it historically. And so this is a really good jumping off point, I think.
Well, what does that mean in terms of how we define our freedom as Americans?
I think what has happened in the United States is freedom versus liberty, you know, and responsibility versus authority and things like that. What individual freedoms are you willing to give up to ensure freedom for a larger group? I think the Cold War was an example of domestic surveillance, you know, and the FBI and so forth. Are you willing to give up, during the McCarthy period more specifically, but larger than that, to feel safer and to be safer? Are you willing to give up freedom from being observed, freedom of speech, you know, things like this? It comes out in the war against terrorism. You know, do you want to feel safer in the war against terror and still give up, at least philosophically, our right to privacy, you know, and not having our phones tapped, you know, and things like that? And so it's almost a greater good versus individual freedom, I think, debate in the United States at least.
Yeah, I think that just to add to that, I think we see this tension between individual freedom and freedom of groups, or the individual versus the group, I think, is one way to look at it. And so when you look at groups, you get caught up in all these issues of inequality and what inequality means and whether and, you know, how that relates to an individual and the individual's right of, you know, free expression in relation to an entire group of people who might be affected by those forms of expression. And again, just thinking about some of the things that we're doing in this in this Freedom Project, I think you see some of this played out, certainly in the artwork, for example, which is available now. I mean, you can look at that now and you see in some of what the artists are doing is their interpretation of what happens to groups of people, which may be deemed controversial by those groups because it's that individual's right of free expression. For instance, I think there's a mural by Willie Birch in there. It's marked Labor Day 2005 in New Orleans. And then I was trying to remember what was happening Labor Day 2005 in New Orleans, and that kind of interpretation is around Katrina. So it's how he chose to interpret what was going on there, which may not I don't know how that meshes with the way the people who are dealing with various issues in New Orleans feel that represents them. But that's all about freedom.
It definitely seems like a cross-disciplinary approach you're taking. You know, the Civil War, when we look at the history, it's obviously very political. It's very personal for people in many respects. Does taking the approach, this angle of looking at defining, redefining, analyzing what freedom means, make it a more inclusive project, that more voices can get involved in looking at this history without feeling like they're removed from it?
Sure. I think it's extremely important. On the personal side, being the great-grandson of a Civil War veteran, it's kind of strange if you think about that chronologically. He was only about 14 when he was in the military. But being the great-grandson of a Civil War veteran, it's a personal thing for me to have that connection to the Civil War itself. But I realize that so much has happened. And in fact, if one thinks about Marquette University's history, many of the people who were students at Marquette over the years, you know, came to this country well after the Civil War. They were part of a different kind of freedom movement as a nation of immigrants seeking their freedom in the United States. So it can be a very, very inclusive idea on a very personal level when we broaden our definition of the meaning of freedom and we look at it again, as we consider the relationship of what we do as individuals and our right of self-expression, our right to do many of the things that are constitutionally guaranteed, but as we also learn to coexist with each other and share the space an inclusive space. So I think, to me, it's entirely appropriate for Marquette to be doing this because as an institution, it exists. It was very founded perhaps in the support of the freedom of many people who post-Civil War found their way to the United States and at some point saw freedom through education.
One reason it's resonating on campus, at least in terms of the people that have put things together for the project, is that as a Jesuit university, Marquette has a great interest in social justice. And it's kind of the way people are getting at this. Again, we're doing kind of straight history things, but having said that, our talks will be about more than just history as well. And I think the approach is, even if it's like a Doll's House is one of the plays they're doing in the spring, which is, you know, a different time, different place, but it's about some fairly basic notions of personal freedom, not rights as much as just freedom to think and be who you want to be. But I think a lot of the people that have been contributing to this are coming at this from a social justice standpoint, which is very in keeping with our mission, both academically and in the larger society.
Well, tell me about the lecture that you have coming up, the Clement Lecture on the 27th.
Stephen Hahn of the University of Pennsylvania will be delivering the lecture this year. He won the Pulitzer Prize for a book about slavery and freedom several years ago. What he's speaking about is a great example of combining different fields. This isn't a straight Civil War lecture. The title is The Dimensions of Freedom, Slave Emancipation, Indian Peoples, and the Projects of the New American State. And so very much two of the groups in which there are ironies pile upon ironies and in reference to their freedoms or lack of freedom.
Has freedom always been a loaded term?
As a historian, I'd say it was. I'm not sure most people think it is a loaded term. Most people think they know what freedom is, you know. And I guess they do. You know, it's in certain ways, it is a highly individualistic notion. And I don't think it's just Americans. Americans tend to have a fairly concrete notion of what they think freedom is, you know. And we have the Bill of Rights. Those are our freedoms. And, okay, well, that's fine. I think it's always a loaded question, though, when you get into politics and economics and race and things like that. And so I would imagine you could get 90% of Americans would probably agree on what freedoms we as Americans should have. It's executing that becomes the loaded question, I think.
As a trained librarian, a librarian by training, I am taken by the fact that we've included in this activity around BAM Books Week, including a reading of banned books. And for me, this is one of the basic things in my field of librarianship is to talk about intellectual freedom and to track those books that have come under fire for one reason or another. And it's actually kind of fascinating when you get together, and I certainly expect and will be disappointed if there aren't fireworks at our banned book reading, because one's idea of a book that should absolutely be read might be another's idea of something that should be banned. And when you look across the books that have been banned for one reason or another, you're seeing different ways in which people have expressed their apprehensions about freedom. Probably the best example of that would be, you know, Huck Finn, where people have expressed various views of that book. So it routinely goes in and out of that sort of woodshed of the banned books because it's interpreted by different people as something that we should be free to read, or maybe as we have young people read it, they're not prepared to read it. So that kind of activity, the whole issue of banned books, I think is going to be a fascinating chapter in this freedom project.
And I think that is really a great example of how context means everything, because these books weren't banned by the United States. It's been a long time since the United States banned something, you know. This is all local. And it's age-specific, it's place-specific, it's ethnicity-specific, it's religion-specific. You know, all it takes to get on the list that the American Library Association, you know, keeps is that some school board didn't let a book appear in the library, or it could be a bigger thing than that, you know. But it's so localized. And again, what might be worth banning in Kansas isn't in New York, but, you know, there are other things that might upset people in New York that Kansas wouldn't care about.
Seems like you're going to end up provoking more questions in people's minds than necessarily providing concrete answers here.
That's part of the job of a university.
Excellent. Well, let me say, James Martin and William Welburn, thank you both so much for coming in and telling us about the Freedom Project.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
James Martin is the chair of Marquette University's History Department. William Welburn is Associate Provost for Diversity and Inclusion. They spoke with Lake Effect Stephanie Lecce about the school's year-long Freedom Project, commemorating the 150th anniversary of the Civil War. The project kicks off with a Clement Lecture tomorrow evening, featuring Pulitzer Prize-winning historian and author Dr. Stephen Hahn. You can find more information about that and some supplemental audio with more of the conversation at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. After a break, we'll chat with a former film critic for The Village Voice. Jim Hoberman speaks at the Milwaukee Film Festival this weekend. He'll join us first on Lake Effect from WUWM.